cross, so we can commune with thee. We have access by very throne. Because of that cross, we have unity in our faith and with one another. Every baptism. We ask your blessings upon this day. We focus upon that cross and that purpose for which Christ died. Because that is the main thing. Help us always to keep the main thing the main thing. Bless us now. Our emotions are going to be running high. We need your help. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand and please. I want to touch on a couple of announcements. And this is all kinds of things going on here today. But we will be, as I said, around 11 o'clock tomorrow. So you have to drive before and be back. So just show up and then just a whole complicated meal. I will say when you all says you can reserve the truck, it means nothing. Okay, I'll just say. Before I go on, just hidden warning here already. It's kind of a crazy morning. It was cool this morning. I heated it up a little bit to chill out, then I cooled it down, and now it's heating up again. So ushers, we use the hall to take care of that, just cool it down to whatever you feel is comfortable. And hopefully next week, Scott Matheson, his wife Diane, will be here. Encourage you to be here. Scott always brings a blessing from the Word, and so he's a blessing in himself. We have our future address there. Especially today, you know, Bob and Jane Runners, 65th. All right. He says she deserves 65 today. All right. We have your daughter's parents have a special message for you today through song. You guys want to play that song this morning? This is from Jennifer and Bob James.
Maybe not.
You might recognize that from Simon Garfunkel, The Sound of Sight.
Now we're beginning.
What do you reckon when you get started, guys, or just start playing? Let's see if I get a couple of other
thank you.
Let's go ahead and have the usual five in our family and then our scripture reading.
Thank you.
taken from Philippians, third chapter. Thank you, Lord. So stand as you read the verse. Paul and Timothy, all servants of Jesus Christ. Excuse me, Christ Jesus. I need to read it correctly. Paul and Timothy, all servants of Christ Jesus. To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in heaven, including the overseers and the grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with you with joy, Jesus. Bob, I think you just doing it up. 33. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. In view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is nothing right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confinement of the gospel, and in my confinement of the confirmation of the gospel. You are all partakers of grace with me. For God has been witness how I long to you with all the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in your lives and all eternity. So that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. Having been filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, the glory and grace of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you very much for this day. And we thank you for the law and right of every man here, for the time that you've given me to us. Always remember. And Lord, we thank you for your word, and we understand you called in new things greatly. That you moved in your disciples over them, that they would reach me. So are you in the Father now. So Lord, we ask it in our hearts that we would not only know this, but we would feel this. And we ask, Lord, if we get emotional, help us with that. That our true intent would be made known to others. And Father, as we ask you to come forward this morning, we ask that you would remind us. Giving is something that you instilled in us for our benefit. Because we're the ones and all the things in it. It's not that we have to give something back to you to even before you. And it's for our benefit, let us feel alone and move the graciousness. And Lord, in many of these things, all these things, we thank you and praise you. And praise that the Son's done in the cross, that we might understand and know the truth. In Christ's name. see all of you here this morning. Family.
Yes,
I'm going to get together and just like, man, you've never been apart. Except for when you start to look at each other, then you realize. All years. We can get together this morning and worship together and praise Jesus Christ. Sam was if you're able to have the same song with me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a saying, only the sky and the hills remain the same. And I think there's a lot of truth in that, because few things do remain as they were. And we most often resist change. We don't like change because it forces us out of our comfort zone. Sometimes we get comfortable. We like things as they are. We don't like surprises. We don't like things to change, be different. We sometimes fear the unknown. You're wondering, well, who's going to come in next? Who's going to stand in this place? Will he be like Pastor Bob? No, he won't. He won't be here. Don't expect him to be. Don't put on him any expectations of him being. Let him do the name of God and make him to be for you. Jeremiah said that God's word says that in Jeremiah, he will give you pastors according to your heart. Therefore, keep your heart. Jesus said, with all diligence. Over these many years, I've been privileged to be a shepherd in these sandhills, a shepherd in the midst of rain. There were times when I'd be in town and dressed in jeans and breakfast shirt and my cowboy hat, and people would say, well, where's your ranch? And I'd say, oh, no. Don't worry, it's not catching. And then I would explain to them what I meant by that. But I've been privileged to pastor this flock of the Lord's sheep that we call the Pleasant Point Church. I've sought with diligence to feed you from the green pastures of His truth and to refresh you from the still waters of His Word. Together, we have heard from these ancient words divine to guide us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, for our good, and for His glory. From these inspired scriptures, we have found help in times of trouble. We have had peace given in turmoil. We have had hope for the future. We have been shown from this book how we are to walk on this earth in preparation for heaven. And we have sought Him who is behind the veil, Him who is invisible. And we've gotten an occasional glimpse of Him, though whom we have not seen, we love. Together we've walked through the valleys of the shadows of death when loved ones left this world for the next. I think there are about 12 folks up here on the hill that have passed from here to eternity in the last 15 years. Have married your young, buried your old, and baptized converts, which is a great privilege. We have wept with those who wept. We've rejoiced with those who rejoiced. And our lives have intertwined. Marcia and I, well, our entire family, has been greatly blessed by you. You've allowed us to go see them often without complaint. You've let them come to see us. You've warmly welcomed my brothers and others to hunt on your ranches. Special thanks to Gordon and Roy and Bob for letting my crazy family spend time together, for letting us tramp all over your ranches with loaded weapons, trying not to kill your best cow. As the psalmist wrote, the lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places.
Now, to prepare this sermon has proven quite difficult. Usually on Fridays, Jan will call and ask for the text and the title so she can put it in the bulletin. I couldn't give her one this week because several passages presented themselves for consideration. So rather than just choosing one, I'm going to give you the whole load. The first passage was read there in Philippians chapter 1, and I'll just touch briefly on each of these passages, but I think they're pertinent. In verses 1 through 8 here in Philippians chapter 1, Paul expresses his gratitude for the evidence of the love of God of the Philippian church and for their faithfulness to God and in his confidence in them that such would continue. I'm very confident that the love that you have for God and your faithfulness to the gospel will continue. I have no fear that anything will change in that respect. You have godly men as your leaders, and I know that they will lead you in paths more perfectly. I trust that your faith has not been in me, but in the Lord Jesus Christ, where it belongs and where it must continue. Here in verses 9 through 11 of this passage, we read, "This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment or discernment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." Here he is expressing hope. Hope for their abounding knowledge and their continued growth. And I trust that I will hear of your increase in faith. Verse 12, he says, "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Paul is writing from prison to the church in Philippi and letting them know that, hey, what's happened to me, God is using it for the furtherance of the gospel. It indicates Paul's assurance that whatever has happened to him, positively or negatively, was for the furtherance of the gospel. Paul did not know at his departure what would await him in the future, but as always, it was his desire to preach the gospel to regions beyond. And so we go with that same goal in mind. We go as though commissioned by you to spread the gospel to others. The second passage I want to you to look at is in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 17. Acts 20, verse 17. "From Miletus, he," Paul, "sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said to them, 'You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Now the context of The context is Paul's farewell sermon to the Ephesian elders. He calls them to account for his life among them. He's not being self-serving. He is just wanting them to recall the fact that he has been faithful in his service in all circumstances. See, his design was to leave behind a good testimony, because after he is gone, his reputation is at the mercy of those who remain behind, who would speak of his ministry in his absence. But in order to leave a good testimony behind him, it was necessary that Paul had had a good testimony among them. And they knew that quite well. Every man wants to be thought of, to be well thought of, to be well remembered. I would ask this of you, and it's not original with me, I saw it somewhere. Don't put me on a pedestal. I may fall off. Put me on your prayer list that I can be lifted up. I trust that what people both within the church and those whom I know without the church will think and say things accurately. The amount of words is not important as their accuracy. Eleazar, one of David's mighty men, we read about him in 2 Samuel chapter 23. Very little is said of Eleazar, one of David's mighty men. But it does say that he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave to the sword, and the Lord wrought great victory that day. Now, there's a four-point outline right there in that text. Okay. But notice especially it says he smote until his hand clave to the sword. If not else, when you remember me, amongst all my faults and my shortcomings, please remember that my hand clave to the sword. Other shortcomings can dutifully be laid at my feet, and I will own them, but not failing to handle the sword. I have never handled it deceitfully or for personal gain. As one put it, meticulously. Putting things in context. It's so important. Third text, turn with me to Joshua, back to the Old Testament. I know that most of you know where Joshua is, but I said that for Pastor Scott's sake. Joshua, the first chapter. Joshua, chapter 1, just two verses here. Verses 1 and 2. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, saying, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Simply put, nothing of God's plan changes when God changes men, when He changes tools. His work is still the same. Moses had served his generation, and now Joshua must lead into the promised land. Moses brought them to it. Joshua must take them through it. For such was God's plan from the beginning, to give them the land of Canaan. He used Moses for his time, for 40 years of wilderness. And now it was Joshua's turn. They covenanted to follow Joshua as they had followed Moses. Which, if you know the way the children of Israel followed Moses, should have caused Joshua great consternation. Opportunity awaits. Trust God to give you the pasture that He has chosen. Another is coming to carry on God's work here at Pleasant Point. He could not come until I leave. A fourth passage, real quickly, is back to Acts chapter 24. New Testament now, Brother Scott. Acts chapter 24, verse 24. Acts 24, verses 24 and 25. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he, Paul, reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call you. I'll call for thee." He said, not now, later. We always think we have later. At the news of our leaving, many folks have stated how they intended to start coming to Pleasant Point Church. Most folks in the Gordon area, they see us, "Oh, well, you know, we've been talking about coming down there to church." Just last Friday, I saw a fella, and he said, "One of these Sundays, I'm going to come down there." And I said, "Then it better be this Sunday, because this is the last chance you're going to get." And he was astonished. He had not heard. He simply did like everybody else does. We assume we have tomorrow. Procrastination, beloved, putting off for a more convenient time is one of Satan's greatest and most effective tools. Felix's response here to the conviction of the Holy Spirit that gripped his heart was to put off his decision concerning Christ for what he called a more convenient season, a better time. Better for whom? I'm sure it was in Paul's mind. Now, look, you're not missing much when this idea pertains to me. Don't misunderstand. I'm not talking about me. But when it comes to your decision to trust Christ, putting it off makes all the difference in time and eternity. It determines where you will spend eternity. You see, Christ may return for His bride at any moment. Death may reach into your bosom and stop your beating heart. And that breath which God gave you at birth, He just may call for it at His pleasure. And your life would be ended. And you would go into a Christless eternity. And hell would be your soul's destiny. The tomorrows we all anticipate may never come. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, the Lord God said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for he that is also for that he also is flesh, yet his days may be numbered 120 years." To have missed hearing me preach is no great loss. But to fail to trust Jesus Christ now is the greatest loss of all. There is no more convenient season than now. I have never in 40 years of ministry heard anyone on their deathbed say, "I wish I had waited to trust Christ." Paul writes to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 6:2, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Well, Father, we've looked into your word yet once again. And we depend, as always, upon your Spirit to do your work in every heart. If there's someone here who does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they don't know that they're a sinner and needs to be born again and needs to put their faith in the crucified one and the work that he did on the cross, make it clear to them that they need Christ today, not tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come for them. Today is the day of salvation. Not because it's my last Sunday here, but because it may be their last Sunday of life. We never know. But we can know where we go after death. We put our trust and faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. So Holy Spirit, as pleases you, do your work for your glory and for our good. We beseech thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, please, and turn to number 336. 336. If you're able to stand, do so. If not, you don't have to. 336. Which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. 282, please. 282. Let's sing together the family of God.
Blank pages, and if you have a message or a question that you would like. like this piece of the top of the Marshall pull and put paper towel right on it, and then cut it back in, and then it will all be better.
So it'll be in the back.
Yeah, we'll put it out there, and we'll put it out there in the back. And then next, I need the Simmons boys and the Weiser children. And are the Zimmerman kids here today? I need you guys. And Griffith? Yes. There you go. That's Bob. He said that's something for you. Okay, I'll hold the bag. You get out and get it.
Among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Not yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples of your office. And when Christ, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading Lord crown for you. You get so much to our family. We've been there through good times and the struggles, and I thank you so much for
We'd like to pray a blessing for that. You know, we're not wrong out. But we are in a sense in the house.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for Bob and Marcia. They've preached from the pulpit and lived their life as an example testimony to the rest of the congregation. We've been trying to give you guys a step on some, but we sure needed it. We thank you for that, people. We thank you for these special people. Bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name.
All of the know that you are the maker and creator of seasons, and you all have turned seasons into weather and seasons into life. This is one of those seasons, Father, and you control it in us well. And we always want to pray that you will just continue to bless them in ways that will just let them see your hand in everything that's done, Father. Just both, just even starting out, they both begin to build their trust. And then throughout the rest of their lives, Father, just bless them and bless those, Father, to this time. We thank you for the season that we have together, and we look forward, Father, what you're preparing both them and us for now. We give you the praise, Lord, as you are God. Anything we ask, in Jesus' name. We love you all. Thank you.
At this time, we're going on, putting together a slideshow of some of the